talking today with Dr. Brian Arnall, plant nutritionist with OSU, and we're at the 2019 Oklahoma Wheat Review today. Dr. Arnall, tell us a little bit, I guess just walk us through this last crop that we had.
So last crop, as everybody knows, had some challenges going in. Anything that was done early, we had a significant amount of rain, so all the early season pre-plant that went down, especially that was that applied in July, August, and September, had high losses because of the record rainfalls that we've seen. And then we had a delayed planting. And so as we go in, and a lot of people planted a lot later, that also meant, though, that they had a delayed pre-plant fertility in those areas. So as we've seen this year, the way the season worked up, if you're able to get on your fertilizer after that significant rain event, then we had really good utilization and uptake as far as that. All my research on timing showed that if you applied somewhere between the late October up into early March, we were getting full utilization of that nitrogen, and we see that with pretty good proteins and the yields that really recovered as the weather came about. We've been doing a lot of sulfur work at Oklahoma State recently, looking for its impact on grain. And my work, along with discussing it with the K-State and NDSU, is that we're seeing that with sulfur, as we know sulfur is extremely important with protein, but the sulfur interaction with nitrogen is becoming a little bit, we're understanding that we know less about it. And so, while we've always thought a little sulfur is good, we're now finding out too much sulfur can be bad. So as we go forward, if you're making sulfur applications, we really need to be cautious with making sure you have a good soil sample and you know the soil texture. So what we've seen is too much sulfur, as much as just 15, 20 pounds more than it needs, we can reduce yield and we can reduce protein. So going forward to next year, if you're applying sulfur, keep that in mind. A couple notes on the up-and-coming crop. With the excessive rains we had in the spring, we've seen the port and the river shut down as far as barges. So I've already been hearing that we're going to have a reduced amount of 1846-0 DAP in the area. What is here is good product. What's coming in could have some challenges, as it might have been cleaned and we might have a little bit more fines. But we're going to have a significant amount of MAP in the area. So MAP is 1152, a product a lot of wheat farmers aren't really used to because they're used to DAP or 1846-0. So with this product, we'll be sending out information as OSU. It's still a great product. It has more phosphorus than nitrogen. So you actually have to apply less to get the same amount of phosphorus, but you're applying less nitrogen at the same time. So be cautious of that. Going down with this looking with our forages, if we have soil moisture, if we keep getting these rains, we may need to make sure we have good nitrogen for that forage production. But don't put all your eggs in one basket like we had last year. Get enough for 1 or 2 ton worth of forage production up early. If we have a good season, then come in and top dress. We've seen great response with top dressing for graze out, even late. So I'm really wanting to see more producers move to more in-season management of nitrogen to really push quality, yield, and production, and as far as efficiency too.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about your late season applications. You saw pretty good results, like you said.
Yeah. So moving just top dress, we typically think top dress is December, January. We've had the last 3 years really good results with top dressing as late as March, and that's in the center part of the state. So as you move south, that moves early, and as we go north, we can delay it. But up to and after Holliston, we're getting really good results with top dress nitrogen. And so that opens up our top dress window, and we can let the environment tell us more about what's needed. So don't have to get in a rush in December or January to top dress if the weather's not right. It really gives us a bigger window. And I've also been working on really late nitrogen to improve protein and in anthesis applications. And while we know it can work, it doesn't work every time. We really have to pay attention to the environment. And so as we get to that point in time, keep track of OSU and extension, and talk with your county educator, and let's work out some ideas. And it's going to be very regionally and environmental dependent.
So kind of the takeaway there, I would say, is that when producers, if they miss that traditional window, your message to them is don't give up. There's still time to get that done.
Absolutely. And we showed that again this year, that whether it's graze out dual purpose or grain only, our top dress window is longer than we thought. We want you to get the nitrogen down, get it down in a timely manner. But just because we're at hollow stem on any grazing or grain, we're still got time to apply. So don't give up. Let's make sure that crop has enough to make it to the end.
One question you've been getting a lot is producers asking, you know, how do you grow for protein? What's your advice on that?
So protein is heavily environment as we get hot and dry, our protein will go up because we have smaller berry typically. As we have more moist weather, our protein tends to go down because we run out of nitrogen, we have a bigger test weight. There's also genetic influence. Make sure you look at the results from the last couple of years and see how the varieties are doing as far as protein production. So there's environment, there's genetics, and as much as anything else, there's also management. The protein is laid in at the end of the crop, and if we don't have the nitrogen at grain field to make protein, we aren't making it. So we go through all those. It's about environment, it's about genetics, and it's about management.
You're going to be doing some more graze out projects here in the future. Talk a little bit about that.
So I'm wanting to look more and show the process of graze out. Instead of just having everything up front as anhydrous, I know it's handy, I know it's cheap. We're really going to start looking at mechanisms for fertilizing and strategies behind fertilizing for graze out so we can get more return for what we put in. Our graze out this year, 120 pounds pre-plant, yielded about 60% efficiency. That means if we put 120 pounds in, we only got 60% of that out. If we split that up in a 60 pre, 60 top dress, we got 100% of that nitrogen back. So our investment was 100% return with the split application. I want to start looking at management strategies for doing split application and looking at how much gain we have and fertilizing after X amount of gain. And that's where we're really going to go.
Yeah. Last question for you. As we head into this next growing season, what are producers need to be looking out for?
So again, it's not putting all your eggs in one basket with a pre-plant. That burnt you last year if you went in early. And the enriched strip, I pushed it for over a decade. I want it to be a big thing. It was extremely helpful in many years. This year, it wasn't responsive because we had such a late response season in some areas. We are flipping that and saying that we will have a calculator out by November for a zero in. So if you have a hard time reducing your pre-plant and then still putting an enriched strip and not seeing that response, we're going to have a calculator where if you just turn off that applicator for just a couple seconds and give us a zero, we can make the same nitrogen recommendation for that field and take out what you had pre-plant.